those that are listening out there thinking that you wish you would have done it better, gosh, just release yourself from that. Because I think what you did was what it was supposed to be. And now we get a chance to say, how can we drink some more water than soda? How could we get out and walk more? How could we love the next person in front of us? I don't know about the second wave, third wave, COVID-19, 20 or 21. Who knows what's going to happen? But I do know this, that people long for connection. They long for growth.
Hey, babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire and lifestyle entrepreneur. I'm bringing you stories, business, and mindset tips to help you be shameless about pursuing your ambitions. Hello, my beautiful mommy millionaires. Today we have another special interview, and this one is going to be a little bit different because instead of me asking all the questions, we actually did a face-off. And so this episode is going on his podcast and we're using it for mine as well. So I hope you love it. The reason why I decided to have this particular guest on was because my husband met him and was like, this guy is so cool. The Mommy Millionaire audience needs to know about him and use him for events. And I was like, okay. And this was like a year ago, no joke. And I always vet my guests. And I was looking into him. I'm like, he's hilarious. He has so much going on. He's like a rapper, a CEO, and he's just like a good dad and husband. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Have your husbands listen into this. He's very resilient, resourceful. Such a good episode you guys can listen to together. So we're having Billy Bowie on. He is the founder and president of Elevate Experiences, a brand experience agency based in Atlanta, Georgia. He has experience working with big brands like Delta, Chick-fil-A, and Coca-Cola as a keynote speaker, host, and culture coach. Billy has been featured on Fox Houston and Bold TV, hosts his own podcast called Created for Experience, and is featured in publications including Business Insider and Forbes. He released his first book titled Culture Reconstructed in January 2020 as a way to document his love for using events to enhance organizational culture. He blends organizational growth and authentic connection so brands can grow their impact and team members can thrive in their roles. So we talk a lot about that, especially in today's day and age where events are not happening. And how do you switch? How do you pivot? How do you create something completely different? And he has done that and he's done quite well for himself. I'm excited to watch him shine even more. And I'm excited to hopefully watch him help a lot of you mommy millionaires when it comes to your speaking and possibly any virtual events that you have to do. So listen into this fun episode. You can get to know a little bit more about me and why I'm thriving right now and how you can too. I'm so excited to chat with you today, Billy, and get to know you and let all the mommy millionaires get to know what you're doing in the world and just be inspired by you. When I first heard about you, Chase was like, you have got to meet Billy Bowie. He has the most incredible energy. We need to become friends with him. And I was like, all right, like Chase doesn't get excited about a lot of people. So I was like, yes, let's have him on the podcast.
It's so fun to watch from afar what you guys are up to. And to all the listeners out there, I'm a huge fan of Kayla, what you're up to. And the fact that you guys are listening into this means that you're looking to grow and to learn, to lead and to get after it. So it means a ton to just capture your attention for a few minutes. So thank you to listeners out there. And thanks for this time to conversate. Yeah, Chase, you know, you meet somebody and you hit it off from the get. And I feel very kindred with him on just the heartbeat of music and the way he dresses and got the dad life and all those things. And then, you know, saw what you're up to and seeing how you're thriving in today's market. I'm excited to learn how you're thriving in the middle of COVID-19 and talking about some of the things we're struggling with here at Elevate Experiences. But yeah, I'm pumped to chat with you today.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a great way we could just start it out there because there is a lot of people that are struggling right now. Some people lost their job. Some people had to completely pivot, just like you, Billy. You're in the event industry. And like you said, everything's moving to virtual. Like, so you have to completely change your model and the way that you do things. And let's, you know, inspire these people that are listening in that you're going to win, right? It's all a mindset. When COVID happened, I was like, okay, this is the type of thing that makes more millionaires and billionaires than any other time in the world. And so I'm going to be on that story, right? Like that's what I was just committed to. And I had a pity party the first 2 days because we started to get cancellations and all these things. And I was just like, nope, nope, nope. This is not my life. This is not my story. We're going to the millionaire and billionaire story. So it's all about just really drowning out the noise in the world and getting super tuned in to why I was here for this time, such as now, right? And so, Bill, you probably had to do the same thing. Like, you have to get tuned into why am I here? Because I'm here for this reason. Like, God knew I was going to be here for this recession because I'm going to do something special with it. I'm not here to just sit and complain and moan and be sad about it. No, that's wasting time. We're here to change lives and help people. So that was the story I got about.
Right? It's truly one of two things. My wife has a business called Uncommon Grit and she does life coaching. It's amazing what she does. And she said a quote recently on a podcast, which I've just hung on to. She said, there is an opportunity for you to win and lose at the same time. And I paused on that and I said, wait, hold on one second. While you're quote unquote losing in one area, you can look at it and be really honest and be brutally honest with the numbers and the facts and the data, but mentally and where you're headed, you can be winning simultaneously. And I think we either regress to one side or the other. I think there's a pie in the sky, everything's great, it's all full speed. There's that mindset and then people aren't approaching reality. And then there's the doom and gloom, everything's failing, COVID-19, blame it on everything else. And I think you can be winning and losing at the same time. Now that's might be a little controversial for some listeners out there, but I've sort of adopted that mindset of what Jim Collins said in Good to Great is you have to look at the brutal facts, but you also have to be optimistic at the same time. You have to figure out what is your flywheel that you're spinning, your business flywheel. What does it mean for you when you, for us, we do events for big companies like Delta and Coca-Cola and Chick-fil-A. And Kale, I don't know if you remember this, but we met at the Pencils of Promise event up in New York City, just briefly. Like I literally grazed by and said hello. That's where I met Chase that night. And Chris, I was sitting with Lewis Howes that evening. So we were near each other there. But I watched the way they got focused on just Pencils of Promise, one focus, one brand. And even now, as COVID is happening, they're pivoting some of their messaging, but they're staying to their core truth of who they are. So I think that's what I'm learning now is people have no choice but to shuck away all the nonsense and get down to like, what do I really want to accomplish? What am I really all about? And then just go hard after that. So I think there's going to be a new season of refined businesses. Are you seeing that in your time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, get rid of the stuff that isn't actually changing people's lives. And I think like something that you said that really got me when you said you can win and lose at the same time. And that's exactly what I did with my new product. I said, okay, the old model of what we're doing with $16,000 programs is not going to necessarily work right now. And so we need to create a product that is under $1,000 for people to get started so that way they can continue to change their life. And so we pivoted. We may have lost on that academy that I was focused on that I thought, oh, you know, 2020 was going to be a grand slam with that. And then we're now winning with this product that's less than $1,000 and serving so many more people. So I love that you said that. I love that your wife said that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a very important thing because you created the academy and had the focus on it. And when it didn't happen the way that you thought it would, it doesn't make the whole thing bad. And I think that's what I'm noticing a lot with companies and brands that right when COVID happened, I was actually landing in New York City on a plane to go meet with three major brands up there to go do huge events for them. I won't say the names of the brands now because they're pausing on all their events. But as we landed, you know, it's when the quarantine happened, the World Health Organization said it's a pandemic, like all these things happened at the same time. And I remember sitting there on the plane, popping on my phone, seeing that and had this idea of what our economy needs right now is CPR. And it was either to cancel, to postpone or to reimagine. It was CPR. That word just
popped
right in my head. It's like, there's no choice but to reimagine because if you cancel, you're going to cancel your profits, cancel your impact. If you're going to postpone it, I mean, do you want to postpone your profits and your impact or can you reimagine it? And for you, I mean, we were just talking before we press record on this podcast is that not only are you just sort of getting by during this time, your business and your brand are growing. What are some keys that you guys are seeing? Like why is it having success right now?
I think because I'm in a good alignment with the product that I'm selling, and especially just in what I do, I am working so closely with women. Like if something's off with me and if I don't believe in something, they're going to be able to feel that. And so actually in quarantine, I've gotten more and more still with myself and gotten to know myself, my needs, what I'm truly passionate and what my purpose is on this planet. And I'm so crystal clear on that. And so I think that because of that, like just energetically, people are drawn to me right now and the message that I'm saying. And so that's why I've been telling people, like, gosh, it gets to be easy. The more you get to know yourself, the more money you get to make. And that's the story you get to choose. And people want to fight me on that, right? Because they're like, it has to be hard. I'm like, it doesn't have to be hard. It gets to be easy because that's the way that I want to feel, right? I want to feel good during this time. I don't want to be like living in fear and saying, oh my gosh, like what if something else happens? What if there's a second wave? I don't want to be living in that. If there's a second wave, there's a second wave and we'll deal with it when it comes. I already know that I have so many other ideas in the, you know, shoot for when that does come, you know, because I'm vibing and feeling all the things. So
have you always been an idea person?
Yes, I have always been an idea person.
From as a kid, yeah, like school to high school.
Oh my gosh. When I was like 12, I started selling like sugar scrubs and bath salts to people to make money. And then I just always had ideas of what I was going to like sell to people.
I love that. I love that. It's amazing.
Some things were a failure.
Yeah, it's very rare. And looking at those failures saying, hey, it was just an opportunity to grow. And, you know, I remember I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and we mow a lot of grass here in the summertime. So I actually bought a lawnmower, started mowing grass, and I had two other guys that were on my team that I would set up the accounts and they would go mow and we would have this whole business thing going on, which is cool. And that was in middle school. I have three kids now. My kids are 6, 7, and 8 years old. So I have a first, second, and third grader. I'm doing my very best to pass that along too. It's like, hey, you want the new remote control airplane? Okay, great. Let's figure out a way from an economic standpoint. How do we get you there? Like, what does that mean? And so it's cool to watch them start to understand that and have an idea that not just how I can make money, but how could I add value to people where they pay me in exchange for that value. So I love that. You've already got ideas in the hopper or the chute, as you will, to get ready. It's awesome.
Well, I think that's important that you brought up the kids, because obviously there's a lot of moms that listen to my podcast, and a lot of us think that money is not a tool. Not me. You know what I'm saying? Like money, you're teaching your kids that money is just a tool. It's a resource. And all it represents is value exchange. That's all it represents. And so if you can instill that in your kids at a young age, like, okay, whatever you want, just exchange enough value to get that, right? So it's not a matter of you don't deserve it or you didn't work hard enough for it. It's just all about value. I love that you said that.
Yeah, it is. It's the value exchange. And we talk a lot about being an energy exchange too. When somebody writes a check or exchanges their credit card or gives you cash for something, there's an energy there saying, I'm leaning in. Can you provide something that's going to meet me at my lean in? And that dollar amount that they exchange matches the energy that they bring. And so I look at products and services and online platforms and courses and things that people are purchasing. And when you have a really low ticket item, you're going to have a low level of engagement. I'm really challenging myself is why do we want to make something a low ticket item? Is it to get more people into it? Well, you're probably going to get more of the people you don't want into it anyway. But then it's hard because if you price it too high, then somebody might not have access to it that really, really wanted it. So how do you think about the exchange of energy, the exchange of dollars when you're pricing something?
Oh my gosh, this is such a good point, because this is why I have never had a product that was less than $12,000, basically. Mm-hmm. Because I just said, I want to work with those people that are willing to do whatever, right? That are just at that level, that understand that when I invest this amount, my life's going to change. When you start to get at this, you know, less than $2,000, people, it might be their first time ever investing in themselves, and they question so much of it. It's like a harder sell, and they take so much more of your time. And so it was hard for me to like wrap my brain around it. But something that helped me was that the course that I'm doing, I'm only going to exchange my energy once for it. And then it's going to be like an evergreen product that people can purchase. And so that felt good to me, because I'm like, oh, I could do that, because I'm going to constantly be getting paid the same amount for the thing that I did one time. And so that's how I got it. That's how I wrapped my head around it. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
I love it. And I love these face-off sort of podcasts, you know, the Created for Experience podcast, which you'll be on with us. And then the Mommy Millionaire podcast, which is we're on together here. And so I'd like to get into a little bit of maybe some things that you don't typically talk about in your podcast. So what's something that folks typically don't ask you about or you've been longing to talk about? I have some ideas, but I'm just wondering if there's any one topic. Like, people don't ask me much about this.
I feel like people ask me about everything. I mean, they ask me what kind of like underwear I wear, honestly. So like, I feel like I'm, because I'm such an open book. I don't know. I want to hear what you have to say.
I love it. Well, I'll go with this question. This is just for me then. So all you listening, y'all pause for a second or just keep listening. It might be interesting. How do you and Chase manage the tension of married life, business life, parent life?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We just did a podcast on this. So here is the thing. We are so obsessed with being our best self. And this just happened, like, honestly, Billy, in the last like 6 months. Okay. So this is like new. But before that, it was constant, just like, I felt like it was like a business partnership. We were just constantly like communicating, but not like, we couldn't ever step into that marriage role. It was always just business and family type stuff. And we committed to like becoming our best self and working on ourselves so much, falling in love with ourselves first and foremost. And so that falling in love with ourselves really helped us just energetically give love in our business, give love in our family, and then give love in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important, is just to like work on yourself more than anything. And then secondly, something that we've done is we make it like a non-negotiable that we have alone time in the morning together. So this is like our marriage time where we can't talk about anything except for just our relationship and how we're feeling together. And I don't know, that's really helped us a lot.
Yeah.
Also just like working in, getting to know like the masculine energy and the feminine energy that's at play, because for so long, you know, I've been in business for the last 10 years for myself, and Chase has worked with me for the last 5 years. And so it's been a journey, but I've basically been in my masculine for 9 years of that time, mm-hmm. because I was just pushing. And I didn't have time to like drop in and remember like, oh, hey, you're a female too. mm-hmm. And I never gave him that chance. And so now like anytime like business is done, I really have to energetically say, okay, now it's time for you to like let him lead and like be the man in the relationship. And so it's just an intention that I have to set with everything that I'm doing, because I do have to be in my masculine a lot of times when I'm in business, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah, I get it.
So it's an intention. And he also knows that he had to step up his masculine game even more, because I could overpower him very quickly. And so he's done so many things. Like he's doing a lot of biohacking, a lot of like breath work and all this stuff. And he's even working with like a masculinity coach to help him. And he's like, it's just transformed our marriage.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And knowing how we can step into both, knowing what the moment needs and how we can naturally step into it. There's an assessment that I love called Colby. Kathy Colby created it out of Phoenix, Arizona. It's an assessment that measures your volition of will or your instinct for action, and it's radically transformed relationships at work and family, and it's remarkable. And that one talks a lot about the natural flavor that you have, but there's also things that are unnatural, like you say, when Chase is stepping into maybe even more of the masculine energy when he needs to. It's not necessarily quote unquote natural or what you've been doing, but learning what's needed in that moment versus what just natural is always so healthy and good. I love that. Well, I'm gonna go listen to that podcast. I'm pumped to hear it. The question I have for you is, this will be a couple quick hitters. When you think about the word experience, what do you think of?
Oh, okay. Cause that's what you do, is experiences.
Uh-huh. So we create experiences. I talk about an event is something you attend, and an experience is something you undergo.
I love that. Well, that's when you said experience, it's about the feeling. It's about being able to tap back into that feeling you got at that event or whatever you were doing in your life. When you said experience, honestly, it takes me back to like my summer camp church days. Just like that feeling of, you feel like your future is so bright and you feel so, you surrendered to the process and you just trust God. Mm-hmm. That's where I was at. And like, so when you say experience, that takes me back to that moment of just like, gosh, surrender and that I'm taken care of. And that's how most people are always wanting to feel, right? Like that's why we go to events, is we want to feel safe. We want to feel like, oh my gosh, we know the next best thing. We want to have fun, you know, but it all comes down to safety. The more knowledge we have, the more safe we feel.
That's so good. Yeah. My relationship with God over my life, that has been the most fulfilling thing by far. So my freshman year of college radically transformed, just really saw who I was and my desperate need. And it's just really cool to see that wasn't constricting. That brought a whole big, you know, as Walt Disney would say on the carousel of progress, the great big beautiful tomorrow. There's this thing that can shine at the end of every day that you have the opportunity to do. So I love that your related experience back to that. And it's something I'm super passionate about. What's your favorite gathering you've been to? So your favorite event, like a concert or an event? Is there any one moment that you went to like, man, that made a massive impact on me?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Wow. You're coming with the questions. I like it. I'm here for it.
I like it.
Okay. The best experience I've had.
A song you heard, a moment you were standing in.
Okay. I know this is going to sound like, okay, she's like a preaching sermon, but honestly, the best like experience I've ever had is being at a live worship concert. And I think back to when Chase and I were dating, we went to this outdoor, I don't even remember who it was, but I remember them singing just a, oh, I'm going to forget it. It's like the old hymns. What is the one that thou?
This sings my soul.
Yes, that one.
Was that okay. It? Or you're just excited to get that one to appease me.
Hey, keep singing, Billy.
I do sing a little too. I'm a singer and a rapper for all the listeners out there. So actually, I busted a little freestyle rap for Chase last time I saw him. So
that yes, he told me that. Oh my gosh. So, but that's on. Honestly, that's one thing that connected Chase and I because I sing too. We used to sing together a lot, and so any type of music, really, we love concerts, but worship music, especially when you're just surrounded by people that are all kind of in the same belief set as you, like, you know, they believe that God has taken care of them and that their path has already been paved. So you're just around people that trust and they're not living in fear. Just being in that and just being able to worship was, I mean, that's my favorite thing to do. But it takes me back to that moment when Chase and I were dating because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely marrying this guy.
Yeah. So. I love it. Yeah. There's a guy named Daniel Pink who's an author. He's written a bunch of great books. One's called Drive.
Yes. So Drive.
Yeah. So he said this at an event recently and it blew me away. He said, How do you measure the success of a great school? And he went to this long dissertation of all the stats and the data. How do you measure when a school is going to be successful? And is it a good PE program? Is it the arts? Is it test scores? Is it having hiring great teachers? And he went through all these different things. He said, none of these are even close to what the most important thing for the success of a student at a school is. Do you know what it is? And he went around the room. People were guessing about food in the cafeteria and where it's located in the community. And is it in the suburbs? Is it in the city? And everybody was guessing. And he said, you'll never guess the top data set, the top piece of data we have about the most success a student in a school will have is, drum roll please, you ready?
Yep.
Choral singing.
Oh.
That's what I said. I was like, wait, he said, think about it. People that know the anthem of a school that are singing their college fight song. It's why when you see college football, it's a moment where everybody's on the same page. We're all singing the same song. And you observe schools that had, and not just worship songs or religious songs, but any sort of song that sort of aligns people together and how choral singing makes a big impact. So there's this funny cartoon we watch at our house called Sid the Science Kid. Do you know Sid the Science Kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sid the Science Kid has this funny song at the beginning. And last night we were singing, I'm looking for my friends. I'm looking for you. Hey, there's Barbara. Let me show you what I can do. And Barbara would dance, whatever. And so we started bringing all these different characters into it. We talked about Darth Vader and Princess Leia. And we were singing this same song. I'm looking for my friends. I'm looking for you. Hey, there's Darth Vader. Let me show you what I can do. And he pulled his sword out. So we were singing this really silly song, but mixing it together with creativity with my kids. And it was a moment where all my kids were getting along, which is very rare. They're all getting along. And everything was awesome and great. But I think the power of music is huge. Anyway.
Oh, I love that. So how often do you like serenade your team with the raps and music?
You know, I'm a novice guitar player. I know about 5 chords. I know enough to play a few tunes. Typically, my party trick is to freestyle rap about something. It's something you would look at me and probably not expect that would be what I would do. But I had a friend of mine at Auburn University taught me how to do it. And he just took a blank table. And he sat one item on that table and said, Billy, tell me everything descriptive you can think about this bottle of water. And it was a Dasani bottle of water. It was 12 ounces. It had a blue label. It had a twist top. I started saying all these things about it. He said, think about how creative you can be just about a bottle of water. And he said, and then take this pen. So he put a, you know, a G2 pen on the table. It's blue. You click it. It's got a nice smooth handle. It's got a clip. He said, now I want you to mix those two things together. Mix the bottle water and the pen. And I just started saying things and I started combining it. And he taught me how that freestyle is not really about rhyming all the words. It's telling a story. And so I would say every now and again with the team, it's not something I do regularly when we're at like a team meeting, but usually at an event, it'll be my ask the audience if they think I can. They usually say no, and then I'll do it, and then they clap. So it's a fun little trick that I do. It's always a good time.
I love that. So right now, where we're at in this day and age, you're turning to virtual summits. So talk to me about why would people want to attend a virtual summit?
Yeah, so I wrote my first book that came out in January. If you're launching a book, I don't recommend launching a book in January 2020, but hey, I didn't know that 2 months later we'd be where we were. But the book that I wrote is called Culture Reconstructed. And so I write a lot about culture, talk a lot about gathering of people together. How do you help with communication and collaboration and fun and hiring and all those sorts of things? So that was really the focus of events. When you gather people together, you're really building a culture. A culture is simply what you're allowing in your context is gathering people together. And so from a live event standpoint, we do events. I'm sitting here in my office just above Atlanta, Georgia, where we have a conference room of about 15 people. We'll bring people and we'll do leadership events. And I'll tell the people that hire us, listen, we're not just gathering your people for gathering's sake. We're gathering for connection. That's why we gather. We gather for connection. There's data, facts, information. There's always three things. And if you're listening in, write these three things down. The three things at every event, whether it's live or virtual, that have to happen are energy, community, and connection. Energy, community, connection. So I talk a lot about this. Energy is, what kind of energy do you want? What's the vibe? Is it fun? Is it exciting? Is it pep rally? Is it somber? What are you trying to create? Community is, how are you fostering an environment where people that are there can connect with each other? That's what community is. They're connecting with each other. And then the word connection means, how are they connecting to your brand or to the data that you're sharing? And so when things shifted from, hey, Mark Zuckerberg says that Facebook's not doing a live event until 2022, and Microsoft isn't either, and all these venues are shutting down, and you know, you got event companies like us with stage, lighting, sound, production, we're going, okay, how do we pivot this? Because we're really good at the run of show, and who comes on stage when, and when do you cue the video, and what kind of story? I have this giant whiteboard in my office, and I just wrote a line smack dab down the middle of it and said, what can we continue to do, and what do we have to stop doing? And I realized that the continuing to do list was a lot longer than I thought. There's so many things you can continue to do even when you have a virtual event. And there's very few things that you aren't able to do. There's something special. You know this. If you and I were sitting together doing this podcast in the same place, it would feel different. But I know that I'm getting to know you. And I know next time I see you, we'll remember this conversation. So instead of leaning into, well, we can't do events anymore. Oh, I guess we'll just do a virtual event. It's gonna suck. It's like, no, it can be remarkable. I mean, it can be storytelling and connecting. And we just did an event a couple weeks ago called the Elevate Summit. And actually today, in a couple hours, I'm doing another event, another Elevate Summit here at our office. And the reason we do these now is to think about, how do we create energy? How do we create community? How do we create connection? And those of you out there that are listening that have a tribe, you have a group, you have started something, decide to yourself, am I going to cancel it? Am I going to postpone it? Or am I going to reimagine it? You have to do the third one. And so some resources that will help you, this will be free for the audience out there, is if you go to virtualeventsecrets.today, virtualeventsecrets.today, I have a ton of trainings on there, things you can download. We have the virtual event roadmap, which shows you step-by-step how to do a virtual event. I've got a training on there called How to Make Your Next Virtual Event Awesome, which is an hour-long training of me just unpacking the five things that every virtual event must have. So we've sort of shoved our chips on the table and said, hey, we're all in on helping people go from in-person to virtual and seeing some really good success, seeing some really good brands that are saying, hey, we're all in for it.
Yeah, I love it. I want to be all in for it. We actually have I have plans to do a virtual summit, so we'll have to talk.
Nice.
Yeah. One of the things that I kind of saw in 2019 was people were already, I felt like there was a lot of noise when it came to the events in, I don't know, like the personal development space. Like there were so many to choose from. Like the weekend that I had Mommy Millionaire Live, there were six other personal development events that I knew of happening on the same weekend, and people felt a little bit overwhelmed. So I like the idea of virtual summits because it gives everybody a chance to do all the things without even having to leave their house.
There's so many wonderful things from a technology perspective. There's event apps, ways to bring things on. And we're actually doing a training in a couple days from now. We're doing a training just called Virtual Event Technology, where we're going to break down all the different pieces of technology. If you want to go from basic to moderate to pro, and depending on what kind of level you want, is people can put on a virtual event with just basic, just you with your computer screen right there where you are, and you can reach so many more people. Or you could go pro, which is where you would hire a company like us. We're going to bring the cameras, the lights, the switchers. It's going to feel much more like a full engulfed experience. But I think those listeners that are out there that are saying, I'm not going to be able to do anything until we can get back in person. Well, I don't know about the second wave, third wave, COVID-19, 20 or 21, who knows what's going to happen. But I do know this, that people long for connection. They long for growth. They long for a way. And it's where I met Chris Harder, was through the Lewis Howes Mastermind, who had an amazing experience over this last year, and then meeting Chase this year with Chris. That human connection is big, and I know that we can still create it through virtual. So don't give up out there. If you're wondering if you can, you can, and they do work.
I love it. I love it. So how did you feel when this first happened? Like, obviously, you're working with big brand names, and I know that you went into CPR and you started to reimagine, but really, honestly, like deep down, did you have any doubts in the back of your mind that this wasn't going to work?
Oh yeah. 100%. I'd be lying if I said, no, it's great. Everything was positive. I mean, when that week happened, the middle of March, I've built my whole career around gathering people together, doing something fun. I mean, if you go to our YouTube channel at Elevate Experiences, we have tons of videos on there of interactive games you can play and ways to connect your team and how to, And so when that happened, I said, well, our P&L statement is about to change. Our profit and loss, our way we make money, all of it has to adjust and change. And I've been someone have frankly always enjoyed change. I like when things are different. I like risk. I like just, why not? Let's go for it. So I don't think it's hit me as hard, but I will say this. This is getting a bit personal, but why not? I went to the doctor about a week ago and just my cholesterol is high. My thyroid is out of whack. There's just some things from a health perspective that I felt myself gaining weight. You know, everybody jokes about the COVID-19 is like more than just the name of something. You gain 19 pounds, but I found myself gaining weight, getting stressed, seeing that money became such an important thing, and it is, providing for my kids and my family and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So it took me probably 4 to 6 weeks of just processing through that as we're pivoting, as we're growing, but privately, honestly, really struggling. And so those that are listening out there thinking that you wish you would have done it better, gosh, just release yourself from that. Because I think what you did was what it was supposed to be. And now we get a chance to say, how can we drink some more water than soda? How could we get out and walk more? How could we, even with racial injustice and things that are happening, how could we love the next person in front of us? How could we just simply love the person in front of us that we see, regardless of what's going on? So that's the corner that I turned. I wish I would have turned it faster, but I've turned it now and I'm super grateful for it.
Well, I love that you were super honest with everybody, because it helps people see like, okay, it's all right. That even if, you went the 10 weeks it's been now, it's okay. Have compassion and grace on yourself, because it was all a lesson you needed to learn, honestly. Mm-hmm. Oh, and yeah. I teach people all the time about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, we're all going to, move the ladder on a different timeline. And a lot of us that first week, our safety, which is the first level, was affected, right? We're like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen? All of us felt unsafe. And when we feel unsafe, we don't take action. We can't realize our higher self. And so it's totally normal. That's why I always say, like, the affirmation of I am safe, all is well in my world, no matter what's going on outside, it's happening for you. And just really believing that can really shift you to get to where you want to be so much quicker.
I'll never forget the moment I heard that phrase. It was, I don't know where it originated from, but I heard Ed Milet say, hey, is this happening to you or happening for you? And it was at the Summit of Greatness, Lewis Howes thing up in Ohio. And I remember sitting there just hearing that for the first time and just feeling this washing over me like, gosh, of all the things that happened, even self-inflicted things that I did that were bonehead moves or did something crazy, even that happened for me so I could become the person that I'm becoming, right? I think we're all in this process of becoming. We're all in this process of the person that we are, 1, 2, 3, 5 steps ahead is who we're striving towards. But we, as you said, don't give grace enough for what it took to actually get to that person. So I'm relearning something now. And maybe for the listeners too, this is a mental permission for you to flip that switch again to say, have grace and compassion for yourself. Go for a walk, drink some water, take a hot tea and dream again. I mean, go back to a fresh sheet of paper and a pen and say, what can I start dreaming about again? Because I think in the middle of COVID-19 craziness, we all can pause and get to the thing that we know we should get to.
I love that. I think that what happens here is this is just the law of attraction at play. Whatever you think about right now is what you're going to bring more of into your life. And so everybody also needs to get permission right now to just be a little selfish. It's okay to really lean into yourself and get to know what's important. What do I need right now in this very moment? And what you're saying is like your health needs to be met right now. And so that should be of high priority. And everybody else out there too, like, what does my body really need? Does it need that coffee, or does it need, like you said, the tea, or does it need a walk? Like, just getting to know yourself, being in conversation with yourself is huge, huge, huge.
Well, I see. I mean, can I go here for a second? I've seen a big change you've made recently, right?
Yeah.
I saw the post on Instagram and I was like, that is the dopest thing I've seen in like a long time.
So I'll kind of share with, for people that are on your end that don't know what's up, but I chose in June to get my breast implants removed. And this all happened because of quarantine. So like, it wasn't a plan going into quarantine that this was going to happen. But because I was going so inward and really asking what I needed, I kept feeling like these things have to go. You're talking so much about self-love, but you have these like fake things on your body, and they're not, you know, they served you for a time and they're just not meant to be in your body anymore. And I was like literally feeling physically ill, where I could not get out of bed in the morning. I had so much mental fog, and like people around me were like, oh my God, something's wrong. I got them removed on June 3rd, and I just felt like a cloud was just like lifted off of my body. I felt like a new person. As people are listening to this, it's probably, you know, 6 weeks post-op. And I just feel so amazing. And I wouldn't have been able to do this if it weren't for quarantine, because I think I wouldn't have had the time to get still and realize that that was what was making me sick for the last 18 months. Mm. So yeah, I mean,
I can't tell you how much I love that, you know, and bless everyone that's listening that was a choice they made and they're okay with it. I mean, that's the grace I want to give is,
yeah,
like if that's where you are, that's great. I think just you looking at inward and saying, again, a choice that you made, something that you wanted to do that served you for a season, and having the boldness to do it. And I know, I believe Angie Lee did the same thing. Year or 2 years ago. I remember seeing that. It's just such a great, healthy thing to say, hey, I don't have it all together. I've done some stupid stuff, but hey, guess what? I'm still here and I'm moving forward. And I think everybody can take a collective deep breath and go, oh, okay. I don't have to have it all together. And honestly, like I've looked at social media platforms and saying, what am I trying to measure up to or trying to do? I just want to be more of myself to free people up. That is really my vision for me, is I want to build a world with no unequipped leaders. I want everybody to have the equipping they need to do what they need to do through all the stuff that they have. So I just appreciated that. I was debating on whether I was going to ask you, but I appreciate you being open to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest thing here is that when you get quiet, you get answers. And so if you're anywhere in your life right now where you're stuck, or you feel like you're just going through the motions, you're trying to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, nothing's changing for you, that's when you need to stop all the action and go inwards. And I resisted that for so long. People kept telling me to do that. I'm like, no, I don't have time to get quiet. Like, I got to make money, you know? Mm-hmm. But now my affirmation is actually like, the more I lean in and get to know myself, is the more I'm going to receive. And not just in money, but also in knowledge, wisdom, intuition, all of those things. And it's perfectly okay for everybody listening right now to be a work in progress and still be rich. Yeah. A lot of people think, because, oh, the law of attraction, I have to have it all together and then I'll be able to make money. You know, Then it'll all work. No. Right? You get to be healing. The reason why you're on this planet is because you still have lessons to learn. And you get to learn your lessons while being at peace around money and around all of those desires that you have in your life.
Yeah. Come on. And I know this is a podcast. We're getting a chance to share a lot of things. I would love to hear the 90-second, 2-minute snapshot of what you do, just and what you're doing now in 2020, maybe some of the things leading up to this, and then where you hope the listeners will go with you when they decide to invest financially and time-wise, and then where you're hoping to take them.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so really my mission is to help 1 million women become millionaires, because I believe that, I mean, no offense, I love men, but I also believe that
you.
Women, yeah,
you're
women.
Smart. You're just smarter and better. Let's just say it. You can't say it. It's just the truth though.
Well, we're just givers. Like, we want to take care of people. We're the healers and the nurturers of the world. And so I believe when money is in our hands, that's when we're really going to be able to impact and change the world in a whole new way. You know, for the last, like, forever, men have been in charge of a lot of the money. And so I just want to see more women have options to heal and help the world. And so that's really what I'm about. And I know that, you know, because I've done it, I've made millions of dollars and I'm only 32 years old, that when I work on my mindset, the more money I make. So at Mommy Millionaire, we're completely focused on helping people transform their mindset to become their best friend instead of their worst enemy. And I do that through self-coaching and my membership program. I teach moms how to be, you know, the best moms ever and to instill a millionaire mindset in their children, because we are raising the next generation of millionaires. And, you know, I also have a mastermind where people that are already making multiple seven figures come together. So that way we can figure out, okay, how can we do better and help more people? So we're all about increasing influence, impact, and income.
That is how you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening, when somebody asks you a question like that, that is how you know. I think you did it in less than 90 seconds. That was amazing. I'm like, I want to sign up. So those of you that are listening in, if you've not engaged with what's the website?
It's mommymillionaire.co. We have a podcast, Mommy Millionaire.
Go subscribe, do all the things. But I love the perspective of, this might sound bad the way I'm saying, I'm just going to say it. It's not a I am woman, hear me roar kind of situation. It's a I am woman, I'm strong, I am capable, I am worthy. Let's go get after it and take that energy and bring it to the marketplace. So man, it's just so refreshing.
Yes.
There's a lot of men out there that can learn from that as well, including me. And I think that, you know, it's been really fun to watch the playing field get leveled on so many different ways. We still have a long way to go in our economy and our society and everything else. And I'm excited that each of you out there, make sure you go vote for the things that matter most to you. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm just going to say, look, vote in all elections, go to the local votes, make sure you're making choices that are aligning with who you are. And then you can go to bed at night knowing that you're making an impact in your community. So Ravi Zacharias said this quote, and I love it. He said, in your life, are you striving to create more light? Or are you striving to create more heat? And he said, the best endeavors in life are designed to create more light. Mm. Now, I see the way that you're doing this. You're, you know, the heat is frustration and causing friction. It sounds like you're in the light business. It's sort of when you're doing that. Is there anything else that folks should know about on the things that you're creating, or maybe a little insight of where you're headed next?
Oh gosh, you're so good at this. I'm stuck on the more light, more heat. I'm like, yes.
You can go there too.
You know, I just love it. Well, I mean, I always talk about shining so bright, you know, and that's for not just for women, but for men too. Like, so many of us feel like we have to dim who we are in order to be accepted in this world, on social media, all of the things. And the more that you focus on just being you, the brighter your light will shine. And just think about it. So much of the world is just in a dark, dark spot right now. And so we need more people that are willing to be the light, that are willing to be themselves. Because what happens is, at first, when that light starts to shine, we're like, oh my gosh, our eyes hurt if we've been in the darkness, right? We're like, oh my gosh, turn that light off, right? We can't see. But after a while, our eyes become accustomed to the light and we actually crave it. We don't want to go around in the dark anymore. We like the light because it helps us see where we're going next. And so just know that you're going to get some resistance in the beginning when you start to be yourself, and that's okay. It's to be expected. But you have to commit to being that higher version of yourself, because that's the only way that people in your world will start to, you know, brighten their light too.
There's the quote from Coach Carter, Samuel L. Jackson, amazing basketball movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. There's this quote, Marianne Williamson talks about letting your light shine. It's not so that others will dim theirs. You let your light shine so they can shine theirs as well. And I think there's an insecurity, there's a fear, there's an anxiousness that a lot of us will feel. And some of it is just pushing past ourselves. And it's just pushing past who we are to step into our greatness. And we think that's going to, our shine is going to cause other people to sort of always dim their eyes. We always have haters, people that will say stuff, yada, yada, yada. But when you shine, it just gives people permission saying, well, gosh, if they're shining, let's go for it. You know, which is why I love the Mommy Millionaire ideas. Like, you know, the best friend versus worst enemy. How could you get free from your own internal dialogue? We talk a lot about, what narrative are you telling yourself? What story are you telling? Because you're, as you said, manifesting that, and you're sharing that, and that's what you become. And it's easy to drift to the wrong chapter and become your worst enemy. So I love that.
What story are you telling yourself for the next year, Billy?
I am giving myself permission to turn the next chapter. I meet a lot of people that continue to write the same chapter over and over and over again. And I meet a lot of people, meaning I see the person in the mirror who does that a lot. It's where I'm just almost writing the same exact chapter over and over again. So in the book of life, where all of us are sort of writing the chapters as we go, I'm turning to this fresh sheet of paper and saying, what does today look like for an even greater tomorrow? What have I learned? It's super grateful for the handful of chapters I've written so far, but what does my wife need? What do my kids need? What does my community need? That's all important, but really what does Billy need? What do I really desire? What do I want? So, Elevate Experiences, we're a brand experience agency. We help people tell their story in a unique way. And so we've been around for 8 years doing a lot of really, really fun things, engaging with brands. But right now, I wouldn't say we're in an identity crisis, but we're in a business crisis. Just like every other event business out there, every other, event creation, it's learning how to retool, recreate, reestablish ways you can do it, where I would say you're married to the mission, but you're dating the method. It's like we're married to the mission at Elevate. We exist to help people and organizations live and lead at a higher level. That's our goal. We want to help people live and lead at a higher level. Cool. How we do that is going to look different. So we have a course actually, it's called the Culture Foundations Blueprint, which if you go to elevateexperiences.com/grow, you can get the free download there. It's a template to help grow your team. It's a really cool, dope, easy way. If you've hired your first person, it's a great template for you just to look at. And then if you download that, it pops to a sales page that'll show you the blueprint you can purchase, and it's got videos and PDFs and whatnot. So we're dabbling into the online learning, creating some courses. Dabbling is probably a weak word for what we've done. We've dove in full speed. Another course that we've created that we're really excited about is called More Than a Mic, which is a communicator course. It's a course if you want to communicate better in the boardroom or on a stage. There's two different courses you can take, so you can check that out there. But we're excited about the future. I'm sitting in my office looking at our warehouse that has a ton of sound equipment in it. Who knows what the rest of 2020, 2021 will look like. I don't know how much we're actually going to be able to take that place and use it, but I do know that people still long for connection and long for community. So we're going to help brands do just that.
I love that. Oh my gosh, I have to check out all the courses. I feel like communication is something that people really need help with, especially when it comes to like just public speaking. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people the person with the mic makes the most money. So you've got to learn how to speak.
It's true.
Yeah. I learned that a long time ago. That's why I went to my first Toastmasters, thing like 9 years ago, and I hated every second of it. It was so uncomfortable, but the more and more I did it, the more and more I found my own voice. And then obviously, was able to create something so amazing with Mommy Millionaire. So I'm definitely, everybody check that out, because yeah, I totally believe that. Write that down. The person with the mic makes the most money.
For sure. And something I share a lot is who you are off the microphone is more important than who you are on it. And the person you're becoming off the microphone, all the microphone really is, it just amplifies the person that you already are. Yep. It's an amplification method. So I know a lot of people view the mic as, oh, I've got to change up front. I got to get all prepared and da 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 da. It's like, no, just work on becoming a really great person. And then when the microphone happens to be there, you can take a deep breath and just be about other people's agendas and get out of your own way. And I'm an MC by trade. So I host, and I've been on microphone for 20 years hosting and creating moments and games and interaction, and have done things for the FIFA World Cup Trophy Tour and Chick-fil-A national events and Delta and Coke and all these. But I realize everybody's pretty much the same. And when you can break through that fourth wall and show them that you're about them and not about yourself, then you win. So I've held a lot of mics. I don't know if right now in the middle of COVID, I'm the one that's making the most money, but I'm definitely the one that's held the most mics recently.
Well, Billy, you're going to change that story this podcast, okay?
I'm listening.
Yes. Yeah. I truly believe that you have so much to offer. Just in this little hour that we've been together, you have so much goodness to bring into this world. And so, yeah, your story just has to be, how can I get in front of more people with that mic that need to hear my story? Because people are willing to, give you their money in order to learn from somebody like you. Like, I truly believe that. So
I receive it. Yeah. Thank you, my friend. Well, yeah. where should folks find you online? I know you're on Instagram. Where should they see you?
Yeah. I mean, Instagram, Kayla.craft, CAYLA.CRAFT. And make sure to, check out the Mommy Millionaire podcast. Go over there and listen into a couple of my shows. They're pretty fun.
I love it. Yeah. And it's billyboughey.com. B-O-U-G-H-E-Y is the last name. And Created for Experience is the podcast. And we like to do on our podcast a thing called the hot seat. And so I'm wondering if you would be open to a little hot seat Q&A to close out the show. You open?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a speed round of questions where I ask you a bunch of questions that will have two answers. You got to tell me your answer the fastest. And when you give me the answer, I'm already on to the next question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Timberlake or Bieber?
Timberlake.
Big League Chew or Big Red?
Big Red.
Baseball or soccer?
Baseball.
Star Wars or Harry Potter?
Harry Potter.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Adele or Christina?
Christina.
The Voice or American Idol?
American Idol.
Jimmy Fallon, James Corden?
Jimmy Fallon.
All right. We're friends. I knew I was going to like the all. I'm like, those are all my answers. Okay. I'm going to try to throw you off. Dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
To be or not to be?
To be.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Who did it better at the Super Bowl? J-Lo or Shakira?
J-Lo.
All right. Jogging or swimming?
Oh, jogging.
All right. Lipstick or lip gloss?
Lip gloss.
Favorite TV show?
Friends.
Favorite board game?
Monopoly.
Favorite sound?
Birds chirping.
You're on your game. I usually throw people off with those. We have to come up with your own answer. That's amazing.
Look, right. I tell you guys, like, you got to know yourself. It's easy.
That's what I'm talking about. How about your top two favorite songs of all time?
Okay. I love, love, love Celine Dion. My Heart Will Go On.
All right.
That's a good one. And then right now, I really like Adore You by Harry Styles. I mean, yeah. I'm just obsessed with it. So, yeah.
Can you sing a little bit for us?
Oh, no, I can't. No. I did not do my warm-ups for that. I was.
No. The thing was, you were like, all right, screw it. I'm going for it. But then you're like, nah, I did my warm-ups. No, I'm not going out like that.
Yeah. I will do something on Instagram, though, just, and I'll tag you. I love it.
Please do.
Yay. Well, this was so fun. Yeah. And I'll make sure to link up everything so all of my people can find your stuff, Billy. But do you have any like events coming up that people can plug into?
Yeah. So if you go over to virtualeventsecrets.today, that landing page we created has any of the upcoming virtual events that are open to the public that are there. So it could be an online training, a webinar, a summit. There's various things that we have that are going on there. There's two that are coming up real soon. So just if you'll go there and look and check that out, that's probably the best place. And then we have a thing called the Mic, which is our weekly email we send out that has a bunch of stuff there. So you can sign up on that same webpage. But yeah, we'd love to have you.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. I loved getting to know you, and I cannot wait for all the Mommy Millionaires to buy all your courses and just be impacted even more by you, Billy.
So I love it. You. Well, I feel the same way, Kayla, and super grateful for your heart. And make sure all the listeners, you go to the podcast, make sure you go check out Mommy Millionaire. And it could be something that you look out for yourself or someone you know that needs to hear this. So thanks so much.
Yay. Thanks. Yay! I hope all of you loved that episode with Billy. The thing that I'm really taking away from this episode, it was actually something that was unexpected. I thought we were going to talk about events and experiences and all those things. But what really stood out to me afterwards was culture. And asking myself the question is, how do I develop a better culture, not only for the Mommy Millionaire community, but how do I develop a better culture for my team, the one that's, you know, making things happen at Mommy Millionaire? And so I'm creating some new things, some new experiences for us to do as a team, and also going to infuse some new stuff inside of the Mommy Millionaire community. So if you're not a part of our free Facebook group, make sure to head over to mommymillionaire.co and click the link to join our Facebook group. Or you can always just DM me on Instagram. It's kayla.craft, kayla.craft. And just DM me and ask me for the link to join, and we'll let you in. All right. I hope you think about how can you make your culture better, whether it's your team, your family, or your friends. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a review of the show. As always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.